Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca. Two points. Take them. Run. Put them in your pocket. Leave the rink. Doesn't matter how it happened. Doesn't matter what it looked like. It's 2 points. Oilers with a win over the Montreal Canadiens in overtime. Welcome to Got Your Back. Post-game live stream edition. Jason Strudwick joining us shortly. Rob Brown joining us shortly. Chris Sabunia at the controls. And we are thrilled to have you on board for the podcast tonight. Come you from our Long Shot studio here in Sherwood Park. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in Edmonton and in Sherwood Park. Got that TrackMan technology, great food, awesome spot to go and work on your game. As always, Got Your Back brought to you by our proud title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC, the number one volume GMC dealership in Canada. Talk to Phil today. I got this crazy idea trying to sell 400 cars in a month. They're actually checking. There are deals to be done down at Sherwood Buick GMC. They're at 10 Auto Mall Road. If you were at all thinking about a vehicle, anytime, now is the time to go down and get it done because they're trying to hit this goal. Phil gets weird about this stuff. He sets a goal. He wants to get there. So they're going to do some deals. Just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. They're wheeling and dealing this month. GMCpod.com website. Check out what they have. Just waiting on Rob Brown as he's finishing up his post-game show on Jed, along with Reed Wilkins. And so for now, we say hello to Jason Strudwick. Struddy, how are you doing tonight, my friend? How was your day? How was your mood? I had some comments that they felt you were a little distracted last night. Was a word that was thrown at me today. Distracted for you last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was actually, I have been distracted in the past, but I would not say that was one at all.
Not last night?
If you're going to identify one. No, I don't remember really being particularly distracted as a normal Monday night. Other than coming up with a great, relentless player, I don't know what else to really.
Honestly, do you know what I think it is? I think it is sometimes that, so all those years doing the show with Gregor, right? And I was in there with Gregor quite a bit too in studio. So I know what it's like when you're doing radio and there's a three-person conversation happening, right? And you've just taken your turn to talk and then it's somebody else's turn to talk. It's very normal to turn to your computer and just make sure you're on the right website, look at a few things, this and that, or whatever. But as I watch our pod sometimes, I feel like we look like we're not paying attention to each other because I'm often doing this too. And it looks like a conversation that we're not paying attention to each other.
Yeah, I'm not sure that'd be – I mean, I understand, which I totally get it because I often do – I only have one computer. So I'll usually push pod or I push mute and then I jump on and I'm looking at other things like – scores or some details of something someone said, something about this player, that player, and I just want to confirm what I think is in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't want to just throw things out because usually I'm like 50% right on the stats. So
yeah.
I'd like to get a little bit higher than that.
Struddy, I'm going to push for better eye contact between you and I tonight on the pod. How's that for you?
Well, that sounds good. I don't know if that's too creepy, but whatever. We can make her happen.
Well, we're going to have Brownie on the phone, so it's going to have to be.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It's going to have to be you and I. How grumpy is a bench when you blow a 2-0 lead in the third period? How grumpy does it, is it hard not to get rattled and to stay with it? It must be a tough, shitty thing to have happen.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I think it depends who you're playing. You know, you look at the game against Colorado. It's different than this. This is the team that you feel like you get up two. You should get up three. You know, I think they had a late, later power play in the second. And that's when okay, let's score the third. Let's just put this to bed. And everyone just gets an easy third. Well, it didn't go that way. And they had to take the extra time, actually. Bouchard had to play 28 minutes. seven of which on the power play. So, I mean, like, good that is not a low, like, I wouldn't say it was an incredibly difficult night, but it was much harder than maybe they felt it should have been.
Saber Cove says, Dallas Aikens just called and wants you to know eye contact is his department. Well played. Saber Cove, let's get to the breakdown as Rob Brown hops in. Brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop. They have a number of drop-in ready diesel engines available for purchase, installation, or conversion. They've also got a couple of restored trucks for sale, a 2018 Peterbilt. Brownie, not sure if you're in the market. A 2010 International ProStar. And a 2015 Volvo VNL. Drop in to see these beauties. 13019 151st Street Northwest. That is Adrenaline Diesel. Brownie, did you think Struds was distracted and indifferent last night?
Oh my God, was he ever? Did he bring his A game today? Because he didn't have it last night.
Oh God, you guys.
Between so much
the subway and the 108 saves, I mean, come on. Those are two gems.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm enjoying having someone to gang up on you a little bit with in season three of the pod, though, Strudy. I like how we kind of take turns with it. So tonight, my friend, I guess it's your turn. But I will let you start tonight, Struds. So, I mean, it goes to overtime in a game that was probably, you know, I would say Montreal probably deserved to win this game. Is that fair? Like, how would you assess the overall quality of play tonight versus the result?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to go that far. I'm not going to say they deserve to win. I think they're in the conversation they're a hardworking team. You know, they're missing some pretty well. It's Kirby Dach, I think, is a massively important player for them. Mm-hmm. You know, Gallagher went out halfway through the game, so I think that they were in the conversation for it. You know, the Oilers, they were just looking for that third goal, and that's something we've seen now over in the last month. Like that third goal kind of put a team away. So I think the Oilers had to work harder for it. But what I like is they didn't get rattled or didn't get impatient. They stayed with it. It took almost a 4 minutes on that power play, Brownie, but they found a way to get it done. And they get the 2 points. Not one you want to – it's not a Picasso, but you get it done and you move on.
Yeah, I do believe the Canadians were the better of the two teams. I really do. I think they deserve the victory. I thought that the Oilers in the third period got sloppy. Nervous with the puck at times, turned the puck over. I think it was a huge goal by Suzuki to start the third period. That gave the Canadians a little bit of belief. And then they just were the better team. They just were outworking the Oilers. Now, the Oilers had a huge break. They get 6 straight minutes of power play time to finish the game. And I do believe there was some frustration on the faces of the players leaving the ice. I do believe there was. I was shocked that Suzuki didn't try Bouchard one-on-one. I know he tried to waste a little bit more time, but you're trying to waste a 4-minute power play. I'm trying Bouchard if I'm Suzuki. That might be your only chance to win the hockey game. But I thought the Oilers' power play got it done at the end, but it was not. I think this is a game that you're pretty excited you got 2 points, but you're probably a little sleepish looking when you're looking in the mirror because I don't think this was the Oilers' best game.
So they convert in the end, Struds, but what did you see from that power play through the game? And I agree with Brown. I think there was definitely some frustration creeping in there. What do you think, Struddy? They had lots of opportunity.
Yeah, they did. They actually had quite a few shots on the power play. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, I don't think it was like zone entries were the issues. They seemed to get in there. But you got to give, I think sometimes you got to say, okay, well, the Canadians did a pretty good job. You know, at times I thought that maybe a little bit of passing was off. But I think that in the past, and this is maybe a couple of years ago, you'd have seen that Oilers power play really get frustrated and really kind of boil over and not get anything done. I think they were quite calm, you know, even in overtime. That the second unit went out there, and the second unit included a 47 goal score, so it's not awful. But, you know, they had two D-men, Hyman, and then who's the other guy?
King. On the other one?
King. Evander Kane.
So, and I thought they actually had a few chances. Those guys had a few chances to score. So, I don't know. I think that at the end of the day, they didn't get rattled, you know, enough for it to really set them back. They stayed with it and stayed patient and found a way to get that goal, even though it took, as Brownie said, 5 minutes and like 44 seconds of power play time.
Mm-hmm. I think Shager, the big reason I thought their power play struggled tonight at times is they seem to lose every opening faceoff. I thought both Evans and Suzuki did a wonderful job and they just kept winning draws. And I from being on a power play, it's frustrating when to start every power play, you're breaking out and coming all the way in. Now, I know the Oilers are good at it, but it still takes time off the clock. And every time there was a whistle for if the goaltender throws the puck, the Canadians won the faceoff again and iced it all the way down. You rarely see that against the Oilers. Leon Draisaitl might be the best centerman in the National Hockey League on power play faceoffs, but tonight the Canadians were excellent, and that killed a lot of the Oilers' power play time.
Let's hear from Draisaitl. We'll go to the Weiss Johnson sound box. Despite the cold week ahead, summer's coming with expected record-breaking heat. Beat the rush and be ready. All in-stock air conditioners, 25% off right now. Check out Weiss-Johnson.com. Jingle. Weiss Johnson. Leon Draisaitl, post-game.
Yeah, it is dangerous. I think in the past we've, you know, found ways to lose those games and, you know, kind of let frustration sink in a little bit. So, we'll take the 2 points, but obviously there's lots to do better.
Yeah, sometimes, Stretch, you're just happy to grab those points and head out of the rink, eh? Like, Matthias Ekholm, I was talking to him about it. It's great when you can learn some lessons, sure, but you got 2 points in your pocket. They're a lot easier to learn that way.
Yeah, well, this is a game. Like, Saturday night against Colorado, everyone's looking forward to that game across the league. And then, you know, slap in the face of Montreal, but it's Tuesday night with Montreal. And they carry quite a few fans, so that is exciting. But that doesn't quite have the same cachet. You're not as excited to play that game. So I think, you know, whether or not you want to admit it, there's a bit of a letdown there, Brownie.
I agree. I think there's an emotional letdown. I thought, because of the Montreal Canadiens fans, there'd be a little bit more electricity in the arena, and there was. But again, I 100%, Colorado, two of the best teams in the league, the best players going head-to-head, and then a couple days later, it's a Montreal team that's beat up, that's just playing out the string. The Oilers didn't have the emotional interest in the game that they had a couple days ago, and that's normal. The other thing, too, that you got to like if you're an Oilers fan, I watched the majority of the Vegas-Tampa game. Vegas dominated that game. They were the better team, but could not find 2 points. The Oilers tonight were not the better team. The Canadians were, but the Oilers found 2 points. So when you are cheering for a team that finds ways to win, and as Draisaitl said a couple of years ago, they didn't find ways to win these hockey games. So that's another positive coming out of tonight's game. Wasn't the Oilers' best, but they found a way to win the hockey game.
Yeah, I was a little bit sleepy, Struds, and then McDavid there.
He did. But you know what? I just want to start at the very beginning of the game and Sam Carrick's fight. Like, I don't think, yeah. You know, people, that wasn't a very hard hit. I think that Sam was looking for something here. And I know it was only 2 minutes into the game, but I just didn't really sense it. That was a massive hit given up. Pinard gave him, he kind of gives him a shot. And then Pinard's kind of skating away and he's like shaking his gloves off. I'm like, is this happening? So I think that, like, Sam Carrick, his game, I'm really liking his game, his contribution. It felt like he played more than 9 minutes. Won quite a few draws. Like, but that fight, I'm not saying it's premeditated, but I think he was looking for just kind of something to get going on this Tuesday night.
And just to clarify, it was Pezzetta that he had the scrap with.
Oh, Pezzetta. Sorry, Pezzetta. Yeah, my bad. The long hair.
But Brownie, nice intention there from Carrick to make a difference early on in a game.
I agree. I think that he came exactly as advertised. He's a guy that wins face-off. He's tough to play against. Plays with emotion, grit. I agree with Strudge. That wasn't much of a hit. And I was the same way. Like, he's shaking his gloves. Is there something that they talked before, these two? For the goal that you talked about, when McDavid went McDavid, to me, this is why the Montreal Canadiens, who work hard and push teams, but they don't win. I mean, Josh Anderson's a seasoned vet with, I don't know, 400, 500 games under his belt. How do you not get the puck out 10 feet from the blue line and give best player in the world a second opportunity? And not only a second opportunity, now McDavid's coming in with full speed. His poor defenseman, Gouley, and I believe Matheson, they're standing still. They have zero chance against the best in the world. That entire goal, as pretty as it was by McDavid and nice as it was by Ekholm, that's on Josh Anderson. You got to get that puck out. That was a bad play by a veteran player.
In our next segment, we're gonna save Troy Stetcher's performance for the next segment. Also going to save how you felt about the line combinations. There were some changes tonight. We'll get to that in the next segment as well. Still need to get to Adam Henrique here and his first goal. Struds, before we get your thoughts on his night and his game, let's get to the Reese Johnson soundbox again here. Zuby, I want the clip where we asked Henrique how he felt his game had been recently as he had been searching for the offense.
You know what? I felt my game's been good. Of course you want to score, coming into a new team and that sort of thing, and you want to find ways to contribute. But I think for me, the focus is that you want the complete game to be there. We've had some high-tempo games, and I felt great in those games, and making sure, adjusting well to the systems, and the guys have done a great job talking to me through everything. So I felt my game's been there. Certainly nice to get on the board tonight, and then we can't give up that first one in the third period. I thought the first shift is aligned, but other than that, overall, I feel like my game's been pretty good since I've been here.
What do you think of his assessment, Struds?
Yeah, I like it. I want to comment on the Habs' first goal. I think that was a lucky goal. Honestly, I think it's just one of those things. Now, if you keep doing the right things, eventually you're going to get it in there. But I didn't think that was a massive breakdown. I thought it was just kind of lucky redirection and a kick in by CeCe and obviously Suzuki. But Henrique, I'm very biased. I like him. I like his style of play. He's not a guy that's going to wow you with a bunch of moves and a bunch of plays. But generally speaking, he's in the right place and he understands how to make plays. And on that goal, he boxes out Savard, a much bigger man than him. He boxes him out, sticks his bum out, gets a stick in the right lane, and just it's clear as day. Ekholm's like, oh, I'll just tap it off this guy's stick and it'll be in the net. So, like, that's a veteran. That's what you see from, at times, Hyman, from Kane, from Corey Perry. And the more and more guys you have on there able to just kind of manufacture a little bit of space, a little bit of offense out of nothing is really impressive. So I'm glad that he was able to get on the board. I think that'll put his mind at ease, much like Carrick, and just kind of now they go and play.
Yeah, I agree. I think the biggest word that I'm starting to see more with Henrique is subtle. He just makes all subtle plays, all good plays, but just subtle. Put the stick in the right spot, get the puck off the boards and out, put the puck in a good place for your player to win the race to it. So he's on the right play, right side defensively. So, yeah, I think he's subtle. And that it's funny, 2 years ago, the Oilers did not have guys that liked playing in the blue paint. And then they've added Hyman and Kane and Perry and Henrique tonight. This is a team now that's much tougher to play against. That was a really nice play by Henrique, boxing Savard out, giving an easy, easy tap in for Ekholm to find his stick.
Maybe one that he would want back, Struds, but overall, I thought Calvin Pickard made some really good, difficult, sharp saves. He seemed like he was all over it.
He sure did. You know what? He seems to be getting more and more confidence, obviously. I mean, that goes without saying, but now, this is a guy that I didn't think he'd even be allowed to fly to Alberta this year, much less be a regular feature for the way that he's playing here on this Oilers team. Like, he's playing really well. Allows two goals. Like, if you're allowing just two goals as a backup, your teammates are like, okay, buddy, yeah, you gave us a chance tonight. You gave us a chance. So, yeah, I think he's really looking just confident and comfortable in what his job is. And, I'd expect him to get, a few more starts here in the next little while again, he's earned them. It's not like they're doing him a favor. He's earned those brownie.
100%. And I don't think he'd want any of those goals back. I thought that was a great play by Gouley. That was a poor play in the offensive zone. McDavid left his man and allowed Gouley to be able to skate the entire length of the ice. To me, the reason that the Oilers got 2 points instead of one was Calvin Pickard. He was excellent in this hockey game. I think he stole them the second point.
This is what I love about having a forward and a D-man on the podcast with me, is I text you both checking in on the mistake that was made on that 2-2 goal. And Brownie immediately went to the forwards and noticed that McDavid had left his man. But Struds, we thought there was maybe a little bit of a mix-up there between Darnell Nurse and Evan Bouchard. Real quick, let's hear Chris Knobloch post-game. Quick description of, in his eyes, what he saw that 4-on-4 goal against.
It was difficult for a defenseman. Somebody with a defenseman was following the stretch guy coming across. And there's a point where he needs to release him, makes it difficult where the guy that was coming with a lot of speed comes in later. Yeah, just tough to pick up.
That seemed a little odd, Struds. Like, I thought maybe Nurse and Bouchard were trying to switch sides of the ice, because sometimes when they're changing, they'll swap over to their opposite side to get a change. What did you see there from the D-men?
I always felt that when the other team is breaking out and you're exchanging sides, it can get confusing. And so both D-men, Nurse and Bouchard, end up on the same side of center, or same half of the ice, I should say. And then Gouley just came flying out of nowhere. And a nice pass, no doubt, gets springs him open. And Bouchard can't recover in time. So I just think in that moment, you know, I don't think you actually need to change at that time. Like, I think Darnell comes over to change. And I get it. You want to get on your side. But just at that moment, I think just stay in the middle of the ice. Two players between the dots, preferably closer to the middle than to the dots. And just fill the middle of the ice. It's 4-on-4. There's just so much ice out there. It happens though, right? Like that's the game. It's dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brownie, what do you think of the D on that? I know you pointed to the forwards there. What do you think?
Well, to me, it's 4-on-4. So everyone has a man. The two forwards have the two D men. The two D men have the two forwards of the opposite team. The Canadians, they had a stretch play and he was coming across and Bouchard's taking the stretch play. I think it was Bouchard. One of the two is taking the stretch play. McDavid was with Gouley and Henrique was with, I don't know who the other Canadian defenseman was. It might have been Matheson, but that's who Henrique was with. And McDavid came all the way across, and he and Henrique were now 5 feet apart.
They went to the same guy.
Gouley with full speed. Yeah, well, that's Henrique's guy. He was already standing there. So all of a sudden, Gouley, who's a beautiful skater, now he's flying up the ice with all the speed in the world and no one on him. So to me, that's just the McDavid left his guy. Now you're putting a lot of pressure on the defenseman. At the worst, it's a 3-on-2. At the best, it's a 3-on-2. Instead, because the Canadians pulled everyone over, Gouley's got free room to get all the way up. And I don't care how fast you are as a defenseman, Gouley come with that much speed, you're not going to catch him in time. So to me, that one was on the forward more than on the defenseman.
Yeah, and immediately when the goal goes in, Bouchard is the one that looks bad there because he's the right defenseman and he's clearly on the wrong side. And he, like Noah Rinsky says, lack of awareness from Bouchard. I thought that it was a tough look for Bouchard, but not necessarily primarily his fault. It looked to me like Nurse wanted to switch sides of the ice and Bouchard was a little bit left out of position because of that. So I'm not going to necessarily hang that around his neck. Brownie, I agree with you. I think the forwards definitely needed to make a better play there, but hey, listen, it's a couple games in a row where the Oilers are letting leads get away late. And I'm not sure, I don't know how concerning that is. They did battle their way back into the last one, but it's just kind of buckling down in those big moments, Brownie, and making sure. They grabbed the 2 points. They're not all Rembrandts, but not ideal to be letting the lead slip away.
No, but the thing is, this is the new National Hockey League. It's goals are scored. Leads aren't safe. Used to be if you had a 2-0 lead, didn't matter when you had it. The game was over. It's not like that anymore. You do give up leads. Now, I think it's one thing to give up a lead to the Colorado Avalanche or to give up a lead to the Vegas Golden Knights. Another thing to do it to the Montreal Canadiens, 2-0 in the third period. I'm not too worried. Again, they're finding ways to win where there's other teams around the National Hockey League that are finding ways to lose. Having said that, I believe in fate and luck and odds. Eventually, some of these ones where you're allowing teams to come back and you're not finding that extra point. And that you just hope that that doesn't come back and bite you at playoff time. It's one thing to get the extra point now when a team comes back. It's a different story when you're only playing against the best in the best in the league in the playoffs.
If you're a Habs fan, Struds, are you pissed at the refs tonight?
I don't know. I mean, I that the high sticking was a no-brainer. You know, yeah. I think he got away with a couple. So
you said to see Henrik after the game, right? He had the gauze shoved up his nose and the bloody nostrils and stuff. Like it's a four. Like it was the guy's stick, whether it was accidental or whether it was propelled into his face. Hey,
right? Yeah, no, it's true. And then early in the game, McLeod got a tripping penalty behind the net that I didn't think it was a tripping penalty at all. So you know, not to be counter, but I think that no. I would to answer your question. No, I wouldn't be mad.
All right, let's get to our UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player of the Night. If you're looking to hire entry-level staff for your company, UCAN Youth Services trains youth in pre-employment skills to help get them ready, willing, and able to join your team. Very much looking forward to their comedy night tomorrow night. Got Your Back will be there en masse. Strutty in a primary hosting role. Should be tons of fun. Check out www.ucan.ca for more information about a fantastic local charity. Very proud to be monthly donors here on Got Your Back. Ready?
I think it's the first time winner, or it might be second time.
Okay.
The pick, Calvin Pickard, and we've already talked about him quite a bit, but I just, the whole story, it's not just tonight. It's the whole story of, you know, the third goalie coming up. Oh, well, this guy can hold the spot till they trade for Yusei Soros. And, he's just done nothing but deliver results. Like, I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. Like, if there's a nomination for, like, the comeback player of the award of the year, I don't know how he's not
Masterton? For the Oilers.
Yeah, Masterton. Like, just it's such a perseverance. I think that one's more perseverance-driven. But either way, like, he is the guy for the Oilers, Brownie.
100%. Excellent. Again, I mean, a backup goaltender would dream to have the record that he has this year, and he's the third stringer who wasn't supposed to be here. So there's belief in him from the team, and there's belief in him from himself. And I honestly believe that he's gotten better since he's come up. He seems more confident, more calm. So it's amazing, and from everything I've heard, well liked by his teammates, the Oilers that. Again, there's always going to be questions about the Oilers' goaltending going into the playoffs until they prove in the playoffs. But I do believe there should be a confidence amongst the fans right now with the way both goalies are playing. And Calvin Pickard, to me, again, the reason the Oilers got 2 points tonight instead of one was the play of Calvin Pickard.
Yep. Good stuff, guys. That was the breakdown brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel. When we come back, what'd you think of Troy Stetcher? We'll have that conversation. What'd you think of the new look lines or the Vander Kane bounced up there next to 97? We will have that conversation. Strutty's World tonight. You may have heard, tragically, Chris Simon passed away today. A legendary tough guy from the National Hockey League. Strutty will chat a little bit about him in his segment, Strutty's World Tonight. We got Take a Lap, Ask Us Anything, lots more ahead, so stay with us.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
Just want to say, Strutz, you've been really solid tonight, bud. Like, really engaged, strong, really good, bud.
I love it. What is? Like, do you owe me money? Like, why is he being? Why are you being so nice today? Like, what's going on? Are you gonna drop a bomb on me after the spot?
I feel like I've been asking a lot of you lately, so I'm just trying to keep morale up on the team.
Oh yeah, no.
Time now for takeaways. Oh, that was a voice crack. Time now for takeaways, brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Did you know that March is typically when boating manufacturers offer the best pricing of the year with preseason discounts? So if you're thinking about it, Martin Motorsports. Visit the shop. They've got Supra and Moomba towboats, Berkshire, South Bay, Trifecta, Sea-Doo Switch pontoons. All those pontoons are fantastic for lounging about on the water. Crestliner fishing boats, plus Cobalt and Regal luxury boats as well. The West Edmonton showroom is packed full, so head on down to browse all the models or check it out at martinmotorsports.ca. Tis the time of year. Strutty, Troy Stetcher's performance was
blank. Good. Good. I liked it. I just want to qualify this by saying that it's hard to come to a new team, and when you're not put in the lineup right away, you just feel like you're watching. Now, this is his second opportunity to get into games, but it's nice to get on a bit of a roll. And I don't know where it stands with Vinny Darnay, but to get a couple games in a row, start feeling like yourself and showing what you can do, and give the coach an understanding of what you can do. And I'm just going to go after his first shift of the game. There was a pass made from the Hab zone up into kind of neutral zone, and Stetcher got right up there and kind of intercepted and pressured kind of from up above and poked the puck down. I think he got it kind of back down to their end. And he's quick on his feet. I think he's not a riverboat gambler, but he's willing to get up and try to defend, kind of being aggressive rather than just sitting back and waiting for it to all come to him. So that first play to me is like really what I think he is and what he can do for this team. And we saw that from Ekholm, quite frankly, on the Connor McDavid goal brownie.
Yeah, I would say the one word I would think of is better. He was much better tonight. He looked more comfortable playing on his right side. He had a couple practices under his belt. He practiced with the guy that he was going to play with. I would call him very active. Like, his legs never stop moving. He is bobbing, weaving all over the place, both offensively and defensively. I do believe that he is a guy that you will feel comfortable if you have to play him in the playoffs. I don't think he's in your top six, but I do believe if he gets the opportunity because of injury or illness, I think you feel very confident that he can get the job done.
So, Struds, I'll ask you the question. Brownie just sort of planted a flag there. Do you think, like I suggested the other day, that I think there's a story to be told here about Stetcher moving forward, that the window is cracked and he might be able to crack it open a little bit further. From what you've seen so far, do you think he has the potential? Like, are we going to be talking about which defenseman should be in the lineup at any point here down the stretch and into the playoffs? Do you think that will does he have what it'll take to play his way into that conversation?
It was a bold statement he made, my friend. And I like the boldness. he has to unseat Cody Ceci, who's been there for a number of years now, and they've had success with him in that spot. So I think it's unlikely that he's able to do that. I really do feel that that it'll be Ceci, Bouchard, Darnay, and maybe not in that order, but you know what I mean. But I think he's you know, as I think you or Brownie just said, you're going to feel comfortable putting him in there if you have an injury. Mm-hmm. But because a couple of reasons. One, the other guys have been there longer. Two, he's not the biggest guy. And if you look at what Ken Holland's been doing, he's been trying to acquire and bring in long, tall guys to take up space. And that's not what Troy brings just by virtue of his size, Brownie.
Yeah, I agree. To me, he's your seventh defenseman. He's your fourth right guy. I do not see him getting into the lineup barring injury. I just don't think he's better than the three guys they have.
How's Ceci been lately, though, guys? Like,
fine. I mean, I think he's much more comfortable playing in the third pairing. He's not playing against the other team's best players. I haven't noticed Cody Ceci, and that's a good thing when you're a defensive defenseman.
The problem they're asking to be a 2-3. And I believe he's like a 4-5-6, right? It's, you know, it's tough. It's a tough playing up like that long is really tough. I can't see him bringing him out. You want to double down on your comment? Shock.
No, I think against a certain type of opponent, Stetcher has a mobility that the other two don't have. I think he's on it all. Like, he plays on his toes. He's always moving. He's aggressive. He's not afraid to finish checks and throw it. Like, for a smaller guy, he's not a wallflower at all with the way that he plays out there. And I just think against a certain opponent, I just want to see him more. I just want to see him a little bit more because Struds, you talk about how it's not easy to change teams. It's not, trades aren't easy. The whole situation. I think, and Brownie, I disagree. I didn't think he was that bad his first night. I think for two performances and a bunch of days in between games and not playing much, I think he's done a pretty damn good job with the situation and the opportunity. So he leaves me wanting to see a little bit more.
So you're talking about situationally playing them. Go. Yeah. Yeah. And I get it. Like the situational, I think I made that comment last pod that, you know, there might be a certain matchups you want to have them out there, but like, let's just go through some of the opportunities they'll have to be able to play. Let's say first round, who the Oilers on track to play right now? The Kings?
LA Kings. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that when you want him in there over CeCe or over Darnay? I'm not sure that's, you know, maybe they're a pretty fast team, but they also have some size. So then you move on after that. Who is it going to be, Vegas or Vancouver? Maybe that's a team, you know, but that first two games the Oilers played against Vancouver, it's really hard to take anything out of there, like except just a complete tough night for both games. So then you move on and be like Winnipeg, Colorado, or Dallas. And those three teams just clearly like just speed small players. They all have some size as well. And I feel like in the playoffs, you want that size to take up space,
yep,
take away room.
That's fair. Stetcher, this is from Roshan Nelson. Stetcher has 400 plus games as a top six defenseman. I'd play him over CeCe. CeCe's slow and refuses to make a play. Skates up and dumps it in, giving it up every time. Stetcher brings more upside. Not sure I agree entirely with that. But based on what I've seen so far in just a couple of performances, I'm interested. I just the more performances he gives, the more he gets in there. If he continues to show the get up and go that I think he's shown, I think he improves pace back there. They've got lots of size already. It's not like they got a bunch of small guys. They're not lacking size on the blue line. I don't think it hurts you that much to have one guy like that back there. I just wonder if he'll get into the conversation. Okay, good conversation. Brownie, what'd you think of the line change? So this is not what they ran in practice yesterday. They had the normal lines running yesterday. And then for the game today, with Connor Brown coming out, Derek Ryan going in, Evander Kane jumps up to McDavid's line, and Nugent Hopkins ends up on a line with Henrik and with Derek. What did you think of the changes?
Not a fan. Not a fan at all. I don't think you're going into the playoffs with those lines at all. To me, I'm not sold on Leon playing with McLeod and Fogle. I think McLeod and Fogle give you a spark when they go up there, and then it gets quiet. It gets really quiet. And I think that's why every time they've been put together as a line, eventually it gets changed because you don't get a whole lot from them. Tonight, didn't notice them much at all. I don't see Henrik and Nugent Hopkins playing with Derek Ryan come playoff time. I don't think Derek Ryan gets bumped up to your third line. To me, I would have Nugent Hopkins playing with Connor and Hyman. And then I would have, I'm not afraid to put Henrik as a second line right winger with Kane and Draisaitl. Something along that line. Because right now, the second line, Leon's line has been very, very quiet. So, no, I wasn't a fan of the Lions tonight. And really, the Lions got outplayed tonight. Montreal Canadiens, 5-on-5, were the better team. And the Montreal Canadiens are a terrible 5-on-5 team. Every one of them's minus a million. I'm not sold on the lines that we saw today.
It really felt like an experiment night against a bad team. That's what I felt that he was doing. You know, having three centers on one line is interesting, but you know, I feel like that line would be a little bit light in a playoff series. Like, there's not a lot of weight, girth in there, if you will. You know, the Kane and Hyman, I don't usually like those two guys together. I like them on separate lines. So I think he's still reaching and trying to find something. I did like the fourth line, actually. I think that might be, you know, a fourth line with you know, it's obviously what Carrick, his job is. Perry seems to be now kind of the third, fourth right winger. And then, you know, Janmark will probably be in and out a little bit.
But I worry a little about the speed overall on that line, Struds. It was sluggish. I didn't mind it either at times, but yeah. that was sluggish, man.
You can tweak that, maybe Holloway or I guess Connor Brown, but that's kind of the general makeup of what that line's going to be. I think we can all relatively agree that's what it's going to look like. But it really felt like a tryout night tonight. We're going to try four lines out and see how they look.
I still think when the playoffs start, Evander Kane's in the top six. And I think he's probably next to Connor McDavid. And I think Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is probably next to Leon Draisaitl. There's this whole, and I agree with you, Brownie, this Fogle-McLeod thing. They're giving it a look. And Chris Knobloch's trying. He's trying, and he keeps Leon playing with these guys. And I think, you know, Leon doesn't mind playing with those guys. He's handing the puck over to them, right? He's moving it around to them. They're trying to make plays. I just don't see it as a long-term fit grinding through the playoffs. I think it's either going to end up being Draisaitl and McDavid together because it just works come playoff time, or I think Evander Kane's going to be in the top six and Nugent Hopkins will be next to Draisaitl. Brownie, thoughts?
Well, I agree. I think you're going to see a lot of Leon playing with Connor and Hyman. I do believe you'll see Nugent Hopkins at times centering Kane and take your choice on who the right winger will be. And then you can put Henrik if you want as your third line center. But yeah, I McLeod and Fogle, to be a top six player and to play with Leon, it's got to be consistent. You got to bring the juice offensively every night. And there's a reason that McLeod hasn't been top six. There's a reason Fogle hasn't been top six. They've got the ability to do it occasionally, but I just don't see that line being a dominant line come playoff time when you're going against whoever the Kings have on their second line, whether it be Danault's line, Kopitar's line, whoever it is. I just think because it's looking like the Kings are who they're going to be playing against, and I think you need Leon going at his best, and I just don't see him at his best right now.
I think you're going to have Henrik at the third line center when you start. I agree with that. I just think then –
I just think McLeod will be on his wing, Struds.
Yeah, and that's fine. I can live with that. I just don't think that you brought in a guy who's a good third-line center to be a question mark as a second-line right winger. Like, I think you put everyone where they're most comfortable. So then it goes Carrick, Henrik, Draisaitl, McDavid, and then you fill it out on the wings. But that's a pretty decent, you know, four centers right there, a little bit of everything on there.
Yeah. I just think you can have – with McLeod and Fogle, you can have one of them in your top six. I don't think you can have both of them in your top six. They're not consistent offensive performers enough. And I think with Evander Kane there,
I think that's a really good point. Really good point. I think you can have one there. You can have two. I think that's a really good point.
So I could see Henrik and McLeod on a third line, and then you know we'll see who ends up over on the other side. Maybe Fogle is the one that gets the prolonged look up the lineup a little bit there. Maybe Connor Brown ends up on the right wing on that third line. And then you got Corey Perry down on the fourth line. Brownie, we're going to let you go, buddy. Solid eye contact tonight, bud. As Saber Cove pointed out, Struds and I were talking about having better eye contact on the pod, and you have not even blinked once yet tonight, Brownie. So
I appreciate it. I look forward to hanging with you guys tomorrow night.
Yeah, going to be an awesome event. Fantastic. Struds, you got your, it's going to be like a roast. You going to roast the Got Your Back boys?
No. I don't need to. I'm sure the other comedians will do that.
Hey, Struds, are you wearing your tight pants on stage?
I didn't know there's any other kind, right? That's what customers are paying for.
Everybody talking about my tight pants. A text exchange with Rob Brown and I today. Where is it here? I can't remember. Is there food tomorrow or do we eat? And dress code? And I said, no, they bring a nice plate of appies and everything. You can order extra stuff, but they take great care of us there. He goes, okay, thanks. And dress code? I said, casual, Brownie. Just not too many buttons open, bud. It's a family show. We don't need to be seeing that stark white sort of gray chicken skin chest of yours, friend.
I will decide how many buttons I do up or not. You're not telling me. I am my own man.
Some male cleavage coming out.
Oh, goodness sakes. See you, Brownie. Have a good night, pal. See you tomorrow, my friend.
Good night, guys. Bye-bye.
That is Rob Brown, whose appearances, we'll remind you, brought to you by Kinprint. If you're a new company, see how Kinprint can help you with your logo design, your branding. Check them out at kinprint.com. Sportsgrid.ca. When we come back, we still have Strutty's World coming up. We got Take a Lap and Ask Us Anything as well. Quick break here.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavored rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximal Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Time for us to take a couple of laps, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. It's even better with Backscape 2.0. New friction fit handle lets you effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. And the new titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. We got a deal for you too. Promo code is GYB10. It'll get you 10% off your first order. That's backscape.com, B-A-K-scape.com, and GYB10 is the promo code. That's Backscape. Stay smooth, gentlemen, like that fella. Strutty, what are we talking about tonight, buddy?
Well, we're talking about my former teammate, Chris Simon, who passed away today. And I got
hey,
a call.
Sorry to interrupt you. Were you doing that for Strutty's World?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. This
no,
isn't
that's
Strutty's
okay,
World.
Buddy. No, and I know
so
you
I
wanted
so
to
so dialed in thinking about it. My bad.
No,
my bad.
Yeah, no problem at all, pal. That's an honest mistake. And I know you want to take a little bit of extra time to talk about him, and that's why you put him in Strutty's World.
Yeah.
So
sure.
I
yeah,
think, okay, where were we going?
Number one, Rick Bowness, head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. And this is now the second coach we've seen leave his team. Marty St. Louis left for personal reasons, or family reasons, I should say, of the Montreal Canadiens. It wasn't on the bench tonight. And now Rick Bowness, he's leaving. He went back home to Winnipeg to get a small medical procedure. And then meanwhile, his assistant coach is taking over. But it's, you know, it's this guy, unfortunate with his wife. I think she had a seizure, I think, if I remember, early in the year, and he left the team for a bit. Sounds like she's okay now. He's getting a small thing done. You know, this team is a machine, obviously, the Winnipeg Jets. So but you, when it's your coach, you really do, you don't always agree with everything your coach does or says or the way he plays you or doesn't play you. But you, no one wants to hear that, you know, your coach is in the most minor situation or his wife earlier. So, you know, it's I'm sure he's going to be fine. But just as a player, I saw that today, and I just felt, you know, just upsetting, right? And I know it happens all the day, all over the place. But, and I knew he was my first actual NHL coach, which is kind of interesting.
Such a nice man.
Right.
Like, I've had the pleasure of having multiple conversations with him, a few beer with him, and just an incredibly nice man. And you just wish him well. You hope that he's doing okay, and you wish him well. Struds, the dynamic that I'm interested in, when you have this, you know, like even for the Habs right now, is it all about just continuing on with the same plan, the same program, the same messaging? You do things exactly the same. Like, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of opportunity, you know, even for Letowski with Montreal. You're not going to put your own spin on things in these situations, right? This is just about continuing with the program currently in place.
I think it's a little different, though, when I look at the two situations of both teams. I think Montreal is trying to create a culture, the one that is of you know, success and behavior and the way you practice, the way you be a professional, all those things with those young players. I think Marty has a big impact on that. So him not being there, I don't believe it's quite the same because he's the one who's creating that. Whereas you flip over to Winnipeg, I think that culture is there and it's being carried on by the Adam Lowrys, the Mark Scheifele's, the Morrisons, the Hellebuck's, and not say that Suzuki or Caulfield or Slavkovsky and these guys aren't going to be that, but they're not that right now. You know, they're not in that spot. So I think, again, I never want to see a coach leave for that, any of these reasons, but I think Marty St. Louis not being there, I think is harder for the team to deal with than Winnipeg. Cause right now they're not going to change up their, oh, coach is gone, we're going to change the penalty kill.
Like, that's not happening. And they're going to be talking every day when you can, and they're in communication and such.
It's a mature team. You just say, okay, guys, just keep going. I'll be back when I'm back. Just keep going. Do what you do.
The one thing I did notice yesterday with Letowski running his first practice, it was a long practice. It was like honestly, it was like a 60-minute practice the day before a game. I was thinking, is everyone just being really keen? Oh, what's going on here? It was way too long, annoyingly long. Their practice was yesterday.
That could be, you know, and I think that they're trying to teach. You're trying to teach these guys. So you know, this isn't a veteran team of, you know, three trips to this, whatever, playoffs in the last 3 years. This is a team that is learning on the fly how to play. And you can't just do that in the video room.
What's next, buddy?
Number two, well, the general manager's meeting are on, and, you know, we kind of kicked it around the other night, and apparently they voted on some ideas. They're going to move on to now the competition committee, and two I think are really interesting. One is that coaches can challenge when they believe a puck has gone out, or didn't go out of play, maybe went off a stick or something like that.
Yeah, like they can do a challenge to see if it actually hit the glass or if it hit a stick. Yeah.
And I guess like I was reading up, like there was something like three last year that were mislabeled out of like 1300. So, I mean, it's not that many. We're talking about a tiny percentage. And the other thing is the high sticks. You know, they can also challenge the high sticks that they feel that it was it was their own stick or their teammate's stick. And I like these. I when you look at the numbers that actually were specifically on the pucks over the glass, I think that it's really important that let's say it's even five times a year, like that is insignificant. The chances of affecting your team that time or that call is very minor. But it should be noted that if your player shoots it out and you call and try to have a review, you could now be down 5-3 because you're both wrong. Both are incorrect. So,
I never thought about that aspect of it. Yeah. So you're already getting a penalty, and if you challenge it, and if you're wrong, it's a 5-on-3. That's tough, man.
So just so it's clear, the GMs voted on this. It'll go to the competition committee, and they have to vote on it, and that'll be sometime in May or June. There's no meeting lined up, but they think around then. Then it's got to go to the board of governors for approval. So at best, these rule changes will be in line in the new season.
At the earliest. So, and boy, the video coaches, I mean, it's already a lot of responsibility managing everything, but the value of a good one just went up because they got to make those calls. Like the coaching staff doesn't get to sit there and look at it. They don't get the best looks at it. You're really going to be relying on your guy or
it
girl.
Is, and the one challenge I think that might come is that, you know, it maybe did hit something, but getting the video that shows that is also kind of tricky at times. So but most of the time the guys know, like most of the time, you know, when you went straight out and you can kind of be honest with the coach. He might call you and say, hey, Shogger, did it actually go straight out? Yes or no. And you're going to be like, yes, I shot it straight out. Because you don't want to put your team down 5-3.
Yeah, exactly. All right. That was Taking a Lap, brought to you by our great friends over at Backscape. When we come back, we're going to get Strud's thoughts on the very sad passing of just a legendary tough guy in the National Hockey League. So Strutty's World, we're looking forward to it, is coming up.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention, visit RedefinedHealth.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll.
It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. They've got locations in Calgary and Edmonton. If you're a contracting business or a contractor, let DLR help you add vinyl fence to your product line. See why they've been going so strong since 2005. Great maintenance-free products, fencing products, no sanding, no staining, no painting. It's awesome stuff. You put it in, you leave it be, and it just looks great for a long time. Reliable, unmatched service, high-quality North American-made products. DLRvinylproducts.ca. Struds?
Yeah, this has been in my mind all day. I got a call early this morning, quite early actually, from a friend and a former teammate saying that he'd heard this news about Chris Simon passing, and the family confirmed that he had passed away, and unfortunately through suicide. And, you know, Chris Simon, he was an amazing guy. You know, I have to admit, he scared the shit out of me when I played against him. He was a huge guy, and you saw his fights. He's a huge lefty and had the long hair and just, you know, eyes that showed no fear. And I remember the first few times I played against him, I tried to stay away from him. I didn't even want him to think I wanted to fight him. And then he was traded to Chicago when I was there, and I got to know the person, and he was an unbelievable guy. That year, his family stayed back in Washington. And that's where he'd come from. And I just moved there, and I was single, I think, at the time. So we spent quite a bit of time together, you know, going to hang out at movies or whatever, going for dinner on the road, same thing. I got to know him pretty well. And, you know, he told me, he shared his story, his history. He was very proud of his Indigenous background and his family. And it was really neat to hear him talk about it. And it was kind of the first real intro I had into that. We always had Theo Fleury that year, and, you know, we'd hung out a bit, the three of us sometimes, and we'd hear their stories. So when I heard the news today, I really was really quite upset. You know, just thinking about just him and family and the struggles he'd had since he'd retired with many injuries. And, you know, there was the CTE issue as well. So lots contributed to this just very sad ending. But, you know, he leaves behind a legacy of a man that was just an incredible person. And I think that the message I want to get across is the one you saw publicly, you know, on the ice scowling and at times, you know, maybe taking the odd suspension and things like that. Like he was an amazing guy. And for that year we were together, I just loved being with him, and I'll miss him. We weren't in contact a lot in recent years, but yeah, I'll really miss him. He was an unbelievable guy.
Yeah, wonderful words, Strutty, and our condolences to his entire family and his friends and teammates like yourself who are feeling the sting of that loss today. I think about his reputation, Struds, like pretty big guy. Was he 6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah.
But
6'3", yeah, 225.
Yeah, big guy. But it seems to me like he was feared for a while there. Yeah. When you think about guys around the league that were just truly feared in the game, I feel like Simon was incredibly hard puncher and was feared for that.
Yeah. So when I played the Canucks, we had Donald Beshear, and most games we'd go into it and he'd say, hey, like, you know, he wouldn't really say anything, but he's like, if things got out of control, I'll fight this guy and you take care of whatever. Yeah. So I remember the first time we rolled into Washington and they had Berube, Brendan Witt and Chris Simon. And before the game, he walks up to me, he's like, no matter what happens, there is a problem, I'll take Chris Simon, you take the other guys. I'm like, no problem. I was so happy. I would have fought the other guys twice each before fighting over Chris Simon. So it was pretty crazy, but I'll share a quick story. So I played with him in Chicago, like I said, and then, you know, we both moved on after that. He ended up in the Islanders. I was at the Rangers. And the year before, Ryan Hallwig had gotten into it with Hallwig. And if you remember, he fell down, and I think actually Simon slashed him across the chest, and he got suspended, like, I want to say 10, 12 games, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But in a weird twist of the rules, I didn't know this, you could play in preseason, even though he's suspended for the regular season.
Oh, okay. That is weird.
So we go into Islanders, and it's Ryan Hallwig, myself, and Colt Norton. We're sitting in the corner of our dressing room. We're playing this game, and Chris Simon's playing on the other side. I'm like, oh my God, like, please, like, let's just keep it calm. So Tom Rennie walks over our coach and he says, okay, like, let's just keep it calm. We don't have to wake up Simon. Like, we don't have to get crazy. And Ryan Hallwig's like, okay, sounds good. So we go out there, our first shift, Hallwig runs Simon, and there's a line brawl. And I think I was kicked up. Like, I think all three of us were kicked out, or we were in the box for a long time. I'll never forget that. I'm like, what happened? He's like, I had to go after him. And it was the funniest thing. Like, it was like, it felt like it was like, maybe it was probably sometime in the first period, but I remember we're all out with this brawl and just a gong show brawl out there. So anyways, and Simon reacted as any of us would it if you've been run by that guy again.
Yeah. Strody, I want to ask you this, and I don't want to take this down a serious path or anything like that. I'll tell you the way that my thinking in the game has changed a little bit. I used to be the guy, you know, I don't know how many years ago, where you'd see something happen in a game and you're like, you know, somebody needs to get him, or that guy, that needs to be a fight, or you would sort of think that somebody needs to drop their gloves and fight for retribution. And I think that, you know, there's still a place in the game for it, clearly. Where my headspace has changed a lot, and I think it does have a lot to do with the number of players that we have seen lost who played that role for so many years, you know, over the last, you know, number of years. My thinking has changed in that I don't want to see the staged fights. I'm not entertained by that. I don't like that. You know, you worry about the guys that are doing it regularly. So that's kind of, you know, part of the way my thinking has changed. But also, I no longer have the expectation that players have to drop their gloves and fight. I feel like it's, in a lot of ways, it's kind of more of a personal choice now, whether you're willing to do it or not. You stand in for your teammates, jump in, scrum, grab somebody, tie them up, all that. But my thinking has changed on the necessity of players, that it's part of what they have to do to have their place in the league. I don't know what you think about that. And like I said, I don't want to make it too serious, but my thinking has changed over the years.
Well, first off, the sheer number of fights has dropped dramatically.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it, does Vinny Darnay have 5 NHL fights in 100 games? I would be surprised. My first year in the NHL, I think I had 15 or 16, you know, and you know, that's a lot of fights. That is a ton. And will Vinny get to 20 fights in his NHL career?
Right.
You know, and not to compare it, but, you know, we had guys who were fighting 30 times a year. 30 times crazy. A year in the NHL. So the fight leader this year, I don't know. I'm going to guess it's around 12 to 15. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just guessing that's they're around there somewhere. So the sheer number of fights have gone down. So the less fights you have, the less chance you have of something bad happening. And then, you know, the guys aren't quite as, they're maybe built to fight like they were for a number of years there. So I think that the fighting is slowly leaving the game, and players aren't thinking automatically to the fight. That's not what they're thinking. Yeah. And then kids coming up now, they're not seeing that either. They're not seeing it, right? Seeing it like we saw it growing up, but not to blame those guys. I made my own choices. But, you know, the days of a player walking through the NHL and having 100 fights at the end of their career, I think those days are gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope they are. You know, I do hope they are. Just in the guy like Rampy come into the league and you're like, okay, you know, it's cool and exciting and all that, but you wonder where it's going. And I think a lot of people sort of have that feeling, like, where's this going and what's this going to look like in 7 or 8 years, right? So, yeah, my headspace has certainly changed in respect to everybody's opinion, but thanks for sharing, Struds. And again, sorry that you lost your buddy, man.
He was honestly an amazing guy. He had his troubles, but I can't tell you how much I enjoyed our time together.
Awesome. That was Struddy's World, brought to you by DL. Our vinyl products. Quick break. When we come back, let's get to our Weiss Johnson YouTube stream. Lots of comments coming in. Chris will join us, and we'll finish off the night by hearing from you.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. visit www.belvederegcc.com.
All right, time now for Ask Anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Home is a feeling and one of the biggest investments you will ever make. Rini takes on only a select number of clients to give them a more personalized service. See why she was rated the number one individual agent past year with her skilled negotiation and five-star client satisfaction serving Sherwood Park, Edmonton, and surrounding area. Call Rini, 780-994-0280. Why are you smiling, Stretty? What are you smiling at, buddy?
Nothing.
No, what is it? Go ahead.
You got something. I just stared into your eyes, really trying to make eye contact.
I was reading. I can't do that while I'm reading.
Sorry.
I'm looking at you now. So, Chris, why don't you join in and make this a three-way creepy three-way?
Who's Chris? So,
yeah.
I don't get called Chris very often on this.
Sorry.
That's okay. When you said it, there's a couple Chris's on the stream. The couple times you've referred to me as Chris, I'm like, is it somebody else coming in here for the?
I knew you as Chris for years before I ever knew you as Zuby.
This is true. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to it.
Austin,
let's do my job. Austin Peterson said, I personally liked the idea of the lines tonight. Obviously no one showed up so hard as to judge and assess it. Would you run back the same lines, at least give it a practice and try to use them to start the next game?
Who's next? Buffalo?
Buffalo.
Yeah. I don't think trying something for one game and then saying it works or doesn't work is really that prudent. So if you feel like this is something you want to look at, then yes, continue to look at it. But I never understood it. Well, it doesn't work. One period. Okay, or one game. It doesn't come together that fast. You can't expect people to create chemistry, understand each other. Or, you know, maybe one guy's having an off day or he's not feeling great. So, yeah, I'd probably want to do it again. But if you're thinking maybe the playoff series, maybe he's thinking against Vegas. You might want to put that out there or whatever. So I'll be interested. I guess to answer your question, I'll be interested to see what he does on Thursday.
91, 97, 18, 93, 29, 37. That would be my top six next game. I would give the Fogle and McLeod on Drysdale's line a break. I would keep Kane with McDavid, and I would give Adam Henrique, Ryan McLeod on one side, Connor Brown over on the other. That's what I would look at doing.
Speedy. That'd be a pretty fast third line.
Yeah, for sure. Zuby, I'm going to hop in here because we've had a number of people asking on the stream of how your game went. We talked a lot the other night about you having to rush out of the podcast to go get to play a big game. What happened, bud? How's the goals against looking?
So I stopped 27 of 31. So I allowed four goals. We won 9-4. Cookie night. All our big guys, they've scored quite a bit. There, my counterpart at the other end, who's a really good guy, he had not his best night. Yeah, it was a 9-4 beer league win, and I'll give myself a B minus, and that whatever that is, my four goals against and whatever that save percentage is, 870 something, those both improved my existing stats. So it was
attaboy. How was the guy at the other end?
Well, he gave up 9 on fewer shots than they had the shots as 31-30, so he gave up 9 on 30. Great guy, though. Awesome guy.
Jeez. I love lazy glove hand on that guy.
It was a beer it was a beer league classic. It was
What division? What division are you rocking in?
6. Out of
6.
Yeah. 7.
Seriously? Division 6 out of 7?
Yeah.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
6.
Hey, 19 plus though. I'm playing. There's kids out there. It's all over the skill level's all over the map. But
the Dr. Carpy says, nice, Zuby, showing them how it's done. You're not being mocked on the stream, Zuby. They love you.
I refer to a letting in one goal. I refer to that as a Chris Sabunia shutout because that's happened many, many, many more times in my beer league career than I usually like to give up one. I like to, as in Bull Durham said, like throw one at the bull. I like to give them one easy one to think they're going to have an easy night against me.
Sure.
Then I lock it down. Okay. Here's an interesting question from Roshan Nelson. He said, if you were to make an energy line, so I guess that's like that's in quotes, to bring spark to a sluggish game and turn momentum, what would that be? Who's your energy line on the Oilers?
Ooh, I like that. I like the energy line idea. You gonna go Shocker? You got it. You got it already lined up.
Holloway, Henrique, and Fogle, I think would be a decent line to do that. You got speed and physicality on the wings, a sage veteran down the middle, reliable. I think an energy line. I mean, it'd be ideal if it could be your third line and not your fourth line. I think if you can find something that works on your third line, so that you can have them out there and bring energy against one of the other team's top two, three lines, kind of thing.
Well, this were total. Well, just very different. I'd go Kane, Carrick, McLeod.
Oh yeah,
a little bit of grit, a little bit of speed, mm-hmm. and then a loud voice.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, there you go. All right, Zuby, keep it moving.
Dr. Carpy said Kane created the turnover and held the defenseman off McDavid on that first goal. Give the guy his due. We talked about him a little bit, but did you like Kane in that spot? Did you like his game tonight? Did you see a spark from him getting to be on that top line?
I think he had a lot of jump. I thought he had some physicality. And I thought he was really trying to get shots on net. Like he seemed to be going out of his way to try to get shots. But yeah, he's also trying to make a statement that I want to be beside Connor McDavid. Like I think he only gets so many chances. So I think he recognized the opportunity that was presented.
16-37, four shots on net, seven attempts. Was only given credit for three hits. He had more than that, though. He had three hits on one shift. You know what happened?
Yeah, I know exactly the shift you mean. Yeah.
He got pissed. He was mad at the refs because he thought he got, they missed a headshot. He was chirping at him for like the whole commercial break. Then he thought there were at least two or three other calls. He was all over the refs, but he was engaged, Struds. He was emotional and he was engaged and he was hitting and he was skating. And I thought this was one of the better games that Evander Kane has had in some time. I thought he looked good next to McDavid, enough so that I'd be willing to throw it together again next game and see what they got.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you're not wrong. Again, it's Buffalo, right? So that's, and then what do they got? They got Toronto, Ottawa. So three of four here are pretty weak. You know, Ottawa's the best team. No, just kidding, Leaf fans.
Yikes. Goodness.
This is a question I was wondering, and that's like just like purely opinion. You're Leon Draisaitl right now. You're Leon Draisaitl, and if you got to pick, if coach came to you and said, just tell me who you want on your line, who do you think he would pick? And let's say with or
Connor
without
McDavid Connor. And Zach Hyman. Next question.
What if they said without Connor though? You're the second line. Who do you want?
Well, Nuge, sure. Nuge, Leon.
And Hyman. He would want Hyman. He would want Nuge and Hyman. That's who those centers would like to play with.
Yeah, but I think that you have to be. I think he knows that he can't just strip everything off of McDavid, right? Like they got.
Well, Connor's been doing that all year. Not that it's Connor's choice, but he's been carrying around other players all year.
But let's just say if it was me, I'd be like, hey, what is it going to be? Give me something and give him something, right? So we both have something. And I think Nuge is the something he gets, and then on the other side, I don't know. That's a little tricky. Maybe Fogle, the big man.
Mm-hmm. Little sidebar to that, I guess I should have led with this. Bobo Fett pointed out McLeod and Fogle zero shots on net tonight. So that's why I was thinking about who Dry might request. JP Hip Faux Life says, Habs fans everywhere. Now, I just wanted to mention that because I know the Canadian teams travel well and the Habs travel well. But from what I saw tonight, I haven't seen that. That looked 50-50 red in the lower bowl tonight. Did you notice? Did it feel different or do you think that's par for the course, Shaggy?
No, it's always like that. Montreal rolls through town. Those fans travel well. They're everywhere. They're pretty noisy. Although I didn't, the building wasn't that rocking tonight. It was fairly subdued, I would say, for the most part. But always a strong Montreal contingent on hand. Leaf, same thing. I would say it felt pretty normal tonight, I would say.
Strutty, did it bug you as a home player when the visiting fans came close to getting 50-50?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it fired up the building. I remember you did. And it happened to me in Vancouver, happened to me here in Edmonton. And you do get riled up. Like, they can't be cheering in our building. Let's not give them a reason to cheer. And you get all fired up and emotional. And I was a pretty emotional player. Like, it maybe didn't show it out, you know, but inside I was raging. So I think you have to, I really enjoyed those games.
Nathan Jameson says, I'm not huge on 91 and 18 both playing with 97. Studs, you've said in the past you don't love Hyman and Kane together. Both guys don't excel at moving the puck up ice and getting it to 97 in stride. I'd put 71 with 97 and 91. Interesting. And let 18 play with 93 and 29. So there's a vote from Nathan Jameson for Ryan McLeod to get the look, but not on Draisaitl's line, on Connor McDavid's line. That's some blazing speed coming at you. Oh. That's a really interesting suggestion. Yeah. Well done, Nathan Jameson. I kind of like the sounds of that, to be totally honest with you. We also have somebody asking for a knitting update, Struds.
Oh, still grinding it out. it's going pretty well. Pretty happy with it. I'm really satisfied with the way it's going. I try to knit about 4 or 5 lines a day. So, yeah. I mean, I've probably got maybe 2 feet worth of
scarf?
Yeah, a scarf. Yeah. Thank you.
People needed their scarf update. Zuby, Mike Smith is asking us about what did he ask earlier? Got that one?
Yeah, I do have that one. He said, do the Kings have more than a puncher's chance at taking out the Oilers, or does their lack of goaltending tip the odds more heavily in the Oilers' favor?
I think they got more than a puncher's chance. I mean, if Dubois wakes up and actually plays the way he can play, he can be a big difference maker in a series like that. So I don't think that it's an absolute cakewalk, Struds. They still got some good pieces there.
I think they're a good team. I really do. I like their team. So did I see Vilardi got hurt tonight? No, someone got hurt down there.
By the way, Couturier was healthy scratched in Philly, hey?
Yeah, that's
Tort scratched his captain. He scratched his captain in the middle of a playoff push. Yeah, like, he is not discriminant again. It's anybody and everybody, man.
Yeah, I don't care how bad your captain's playing. I don't think you sit your captain. But Tort's always does it his way, right? And I think that's why eventually it kind of wears thin. So it'll be interesting to see where that relationship goes between Couturier and the big guy next. Well, I guess next year.
Yep.
Hang on. I got one more thing I want to add. Early in the show, Haggard Prospector said, I would pay big money for a toaster that toasts Strutty's face onto the bread. I feel like that's, we got to look at that in the merch store, because people haven't seen it yet, only internally, but I've got the Strutty's face icon that I'm working on for some t-shirts and stuff. I think we might be able to get that on a toaster.
We need t-shirts involving Jason Strudwick in some way, shape, or form. Something Strutty's World. We're working on something pretty epic behind the scenes, bud. And I know it is your likeness, but we are not going to get your commission. Or we're not going to get your permission. Might get some commission.
I can live with that. Just as long as it says I'm a banana bread or hot mustard, anything.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the ballpark. Thing.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. All right, time for our gem of the night. Struds, I'll give you a second to think about it. What do you got tonight, bud? Honestly, that suggestion of McLeod up in the top six next to McDavid, that was a really good late pod addition to the conversation. You got something that'll beat that?
No, you know what? That is interesting, because we haven't given it to many listeners, and I think that's more than deserving. That being the second time ever we've given to a listener. So yeah, congratulations.
Who was it again? I got to find his name. Where was it? Yeah. I lost it.
I think it was Nathan Jameson, wasn't it?
Nathan Jameson with our gem of the night. And for that, you win gem of the night. So congratulations, Nathan Jameson. That'll wrap up the podcast. Zuby, good job tonight, buddy. Thank you, Struds. Much better tonight, bud. Really appreciate the effort tonight. Well,
brought it, kicked it up a notch.
All right, looking forward to seeing you at the charity event for UCAN News Services tomorrow night. Thank you for joining us on the live stream. Thanks for listening to us in podcast form. And thank you to Sherwood Buick GMC, our amazing title sponsor. We'll drop a podcast after the Oilers and Sabres on Thursday night. Till then, take care, everybody. Talk soon.